All right, welcome to Upbeat Tales. I am today's narrator, Eddie Knight. I'll tell you a little bit about myself here in a moment, and I'll also tell you about today's author, Rick Danforth. But because this is our first episode that we're publishing, I want to tell you a little bit about what you can expect from Upbeat Tales. We are going to be doing short stories and lightning stories. So these are stories that are anywhere from 100 words to 6,000 words, usually getting out in 30 minutes or less. One of our first three episodes is going to be less than 10 minutes. The content of our stories is intended to be jovial or comedic. Does not need to be both. You'll hear some of our stories are not necessarily the happiest of stories, but they'll still put a little bit of a smile on your face with the little bit of joking and comedic nature that's in there. Today's story, I think, is both. I think we get that comedy and we get that jovial, positive kind of tone to it. I think you're really going to enjoy it. It is by Rick Danforth. Rick is the guy who is helping out with our social media. If you want to talk to Upbeat Tales on Twitter, it is just at Upbeat Tales. You can see it in the show notes, along with the rest of Rick's bio. But you should know that Rick has been writing short stories and other fictions for quite a long time. You can read his short stories in Hexagon, Translunar Traveler's Lounge, and a bunch of other places. Myself, only thing you need to know about me is that I stumble over names. You will get used to it. You will find it endearing. You will love it. But you can see my bio also on our website. I am also the guy who runs the website. I don't put a whole heck of a lot of effort into it, so if you get sad at our website, you can tweet Rick and tell him he won't fix it. But I might see your tweet to Rick. Anyhow, that's a little bit about what you can expect from the podcast. I intend to narrate most or all of the episodes. The next three episodes are narrated by me, and the next two tales that we have are from two of our other authors, so we're getting three different authors in here. That is the way we intend to keep doing it for a little while. If you yourself are a short story writer, we are opening up for submissions on August 1st. That information is also on our website, upbeattales.com. Really simple, just remember to put two T's in there, Upbeat Tales. You can see about our submission window from 1st August to 31st August. And that's all I have to tell you about how we're running things around here. Super glad you're here, and we hope you enjoy the show. Seller's Remorse by Rick Danforth. Hello, my name is Shettle. Can I interest you in a change of God today? Asked Shettle, standing in front of a partially open door that only revealed a scowling female face. What? Why? Have you considered the values of changing your religion? No? Why on earth would I want to do that? Asked the woman loudly, opening the door enough so Shettle could see her nod at the stone altar behind her. The door slammed shut inches from Shettle's face. He didn't even blink. You get used to such things quickly, going door to door. Eventually, after a lot of crying. But that was in the past. Although door-to-door God brokering was a tough gig, and sometimes Shettle felt like he would have more luck dropping a rose petal down a well and listening for the echo, he was determined. He took a deep breath, brushed down his sensible brown suit, and trudged down to house number 2. Not for his own sake, but for Jerry's. Passing through a nice but aged pair of iron gates, Shettle saw there was a noticeable absence of altars or plaques on the fronts of the house. Could be a positive sign, could be a bad sign. It was hard to tell, but Shettle always kept an eye out. You never know what might help with a sale. And boy, did he need one. He just hoped they couldn't smell desperation. just in case they did, he sprayed himself again with, instead of bathe, a cologne so strong it could only legally be used outdoors. Waiting in front of the next door, a worn one with chipped paint, Shettle slicked back his hair and triple knocked. He spent a lot of time perfecting it, making it sound upbeat and cheerful, the kind of knock people wanted to open the door to. The woman opening the door didn't look like she was open to cheerful. She had a deflated, gaunt face that spoke of a stressful life. Coupled with a chin so small, Shettle wondered how she possibly folded towels. "Hello, my name is Shettle. Can I interest you in a change of God today?" "No, thank you. We've worshipped our God for 20 years, very happily," said the woman, touching an amulet beneath her stained shirt.
"Well, I tell you. Sorry, I didn't catch your name."
"Gertrude."
"Oh, what a pretty name that is. Gertrude."
Shettle said the name slowly, like it was the first time he'd ever heard it, then just smiled his best smile.
"Well, I tell you what, a savvy lady like you will be hard to shift, but why don't you let me come in and show you the catalog? Then I can give you this lovely package of complimentary biscuits."
Shettle waggled a pack of biscuits tied up with a red bow, like he hadn't baked them that very morning himself, or reused the same red bow for weeks. But the red bow certainly caught Gertrude's eye. She was practically drooling already. She could only say, "And I don't have to sign anything?"
"Not a thing. In fact, I get paid for just getting into the house, and you get a nice pack of biscuits. The only person who loses is the big distributor, and I think we can both live with that."
Shettle chuckled and saw the woman relenting. The door opened and she guided him over a threadbare stained carpet into a kitchen with a table so ragged that the termites wouldn't even bother to stop for lunch. The biscuits were placed on the table, along with a hefty catalog from the briefcase. Shettle did his best not to look smug. There was no big distributor. He worked for himself, but it worked every time to help him get in. Well, maybe 50% of the time, 30 if he was honest with himself, but he would take what he could get. His numbers needed serious boosting, or Jerry wouldn't have a chance. Jerry had been Shettle's only true friend for 30 years. He deserved everything Shettle could provide.
"May I ask you who you currently give worship to?"
"My husband and I are devout followers of Moranis," said Gertrude, suddenly finding her shoes fascinating to stare at. "We have been for 20 years, just after the marriage, but before our children." Shettle nodded, not asking any more questions to save the woman embarrassment. One of the more easily worshipped gods, but one with curious rewards. Say the odd prayer to an altar in the wardrobe, and commit to never changing or removing your underwear. In return, your underwear stayed fresh for all eternity, and there is a comfortable, if not decadent, afterlife waiting for you. The only downside Shettle was aware of were the age requirements.
"May I ask about your children?"
"What about them?"
"Who do they worship currently?"
"They don't. My husband and I talked about it, and if they choose to follow Moranis when they come of age, that would be fantastic. And if not..." Gertrude coughed and shifted uncomfortably in her chair before opening the biscuits. "We would like to reserve their right to choose."
"That is a very admirable viewpoint, but what have you done to ensure their salvation?"
"What do you mean?" Gertrude broke a biscuit into crumbs between whitened fingers. "They're so young."
"Yes, but accidents happen. It is a horrible world out there sometimes. Just one barrel falls off a cart, one stray horse hoof."
Shettle sighed and wiped away an imaginary tear.
"And of course, I am sure you remember when Cholera slept through Algo last year."
"The one where they closed the entire city for 40 days?
"The very same."
Shettle patted his chest, hoping dearly he wasn't overreacting too much.
In such a world, who doesn't want to ensure their children's salvation for all eventualities? Gods aren't just gods. They're peace of mind.
But I'm sure Moranis would make an exception for...
According to the scripture, Shuttle flicked the pages, your children would be allowed to join you in heaven,
praise Moranis,
after they've served 1,000 years in purgatory.
Gertrude took a deep, biscuit-scented breath. Who do you recommend?
Shuttle took a second to calm himself and stay level. He was close, so very close. He couldn't afford to bugger it up now. Well, given the circumstances, I am sure you'll want to choose a low-maintenance deity. One easy to worship with minor benefits.
Please, that would be great. Gertrude was already halfway through the biscuits, absentmindedly demolishing them like a sausage grinder. No strange rituals or blood ceremonies, just a new idol in the corner, please. And redemption for my kids in case of
the worst. Shuttle finished for her and patted her on the hand. He didn't want her to focus on that any more than needed. Although it was an unkind direction, Shuttle wasn't a mean person. Just, he needed the sale that badly. Jerry needed the sale that badly. Shuttle pointed to a catalog page. How about this? Should fit the bill nicely.
Crumbs scattered the table as the woman read aloud. One minor altar that can be stored out of sight, promise of eternal redemption, with buffet included. But...
She frowned, moving her head closer to the page.
They can't cut their hair? Ever?
A small price to pay for eternal redemption.
Redemption is important, but I would prefer them to not look like a twats in this lifetime, thank you.
Gertrude giggled.
What else have you got? Shuttle did his best to hide his disappointment with a hollow smile. Gaining new followers for his beloved religion of Frum was proving almost impossible in the modern day. But that was fine. If he could sell a follower to another religion, Frum still got a fraction of their worship. And he needed all the worship he could get right now. 5.25 worshippers just wasn't enough.
Gertrude flipped through the catalog, smiling and muttering to herself. She seemed to be enjoying window shopping for her children's gods.
Shuttle had been told it was similar to choosing dates for a friend, the fun amplified by the lack of consequences for bad decisions.
Flatula, the god of wind, is very popular with children nowadays, offered Shuttle.
A stern look displayed Gertrude's unflinching opinion on that one. She went back to reading, and Shuttle went back to smiling politely. He drank the tea, resisting a shudder. He had never truly seen the point of caffeinated brown leaf water. But if people offered you things, you had to accept them. It endeared you to them for some reason that Shuttle would never understand. You'd think people would prefer those who give gifts, but that was humans for you.
Gertrude spent far longer on the smiting gods than most did, her eyes lingering on them. Smiting ones were a hard sell. The free market had spoken. People wanted gods to raise them up and not trample them down. Except for the masochists, but what they did in their time was their own business.
But in the end, she flicked back a few pages to the Brotherhood of the Prophet blog. This one. Now what?
Shuttle nodded. It was the one he would have chosen for her, besides himself, of course.
A god whose entire interaction was to send a newsletter once a month and a gift on birthdays divisible by 7.
You just need to sign the contract and away we go. There is the standard anti-competitor clause, no switching benefactor for 6 months or penalties are incurred, and of course you can back out at any point in the first 30 days if either you or your chosen deity has second thoughts.
And that was it. Before Shuttle had choked down the rest of his tea, the contracts were signed and he found himself walking down the cobbled street.
It never ceased to surprise him how quickly some people chose and signed these contracts. They would spend weeks debating furniture,
but sign their eternal soul away in seconds. It never ceased to surprise him how easily people signed their loyalty away to fickle gods who couldn't care less about them. Fickle gods like Frum had been, once upon a time. But at least she had signed it, even if it wasn't to Frum. 5.3 sounded a lot closer to 7 than 5.25 did. It didn't matter how Shuttle got to 7, but he was sure as hell going to get there. Failure just wasn't an option. But already the day was looking up. Jerry, the high and only priest, would be proud. Shuttle could allow himself a quick moment to enjoy the sun, which filtered in between the gray ancient buildings. Antique paint still peeled in the way cheap paint peeled when it had been painted on wood too old and rotten to paint. Shuttle had chosen the neighborhood carefully, the kind of aspirational types who took themselves far too seriously. The kind who had skipped dinner to afford whitewash to impress the neighbors. The kind who would be open to a little boost to get ahead of said neighbors, or so Shuttle hoped. The next house boasted a 7-foot-tall granite statue that told Shuttle everything he needed to know. This would be a hard sell. At the gloomy door, Shuttle performed his routine of slicking back the hair and a triple knock. Before he'd finished, a woman answered, her face of a bulldog sucking a sour candy appearing through a crack in the door. "Hello, my name is Shuttle. Can I interest you in a change of God today?" Shuttle saw the look on her face and added instantly, "Many people do well by changing from riskier gods to more reliable gods with lesser but more consistent rewards." "We have been devout followers of Zeus for 60 years. Why the hell would we change now?" "Perhaps 60 years is long enough," asked Shuttle, sweat starting to pool in the palms of his hands and on the bottom of his shoes. "It will be a blink in the eye of our eternal redemption." Shuttle took a deep breath. He could hear the kettle whistling, and he was losing her. The sales chat was probably just her entertainment while the water boiled.
"Don't suppose you have any kids?"
"No."
"Do you want any?"
"What?"
"If you choose Astra the fertility god, you will worship her by having children, and she will reward you by giving you more children."
Admittedly, it was a vicious cycle, but it seemed to work for some people. Many preferred it to more traditional pension plans.
"Clear off, you pervert! I'll get that kettle and throw it on you!"
Shuttle sighed as the door slammed inches away from his nose. He turned and left. This was how many of the attempts ended. Failure, with the nagging suspicion that he'd only just escaped with his life. Back in the day, Frum would have dropped a meteor on the woman for pulling that. But he'd mellowed over the centuries, less by choice, more by necessity. You had to be a big-name god to get away with such things, like musicians with drug charges. If Shuttle kept this up, then Jerry was going to have a horrible afterlife. And it was 7 he needed to keep an afterlife going. Shuttle wasn't sure what happened to unclaimed souls. The struggling gods didn't like to talk about it, and the big gods wouldn't talk to someone like him from their ivory mountain. They wouldn't talk to their followers either. Hell, they failed the majority of them, just giving them the bare minimum, something Shuttle knew all too well about. But if he failed, Jerry was going to find out where those unclaimed souls went. Shuttle gently slapped his face and breathed out. He had to get his head in the game. For Jerry. The next house was the exception to the neighborhood. The rest of the houses may have tables with food on, but by the gods, the tables will be scrubbed. This one looked almost abandoned, with boarded windows and the uncut grass. Shuttle did his triple knock and wished dearly he had someone to pray to. The door opened a crack.
"Hello there, kind sir."
Shuttle bowed his hand in respect.
"Can I interest you in a god today?" The opening widened, showing a battered face with a large black eye and several cuts. Enough information for Shuttle to jump to wild conclusions. Some of our offered deities could help with the bar fights. Improved strength or luck sound like something you would enjoy?
I'll need help, said the man, opening the door wider still, showcasing enough muscle and tattoos to concern Shuttle. But some of the tattoos were even spelled correctly, a rarity in this town, so perhaps he would be open to reason.
Of course, not a man of your caliber, Shuttle swallowed, thinking quickly on the fly. But how about Apollo, god of health? Much cheaper than health insurance. I'm sure it takes an athlete of your caliber a lot of effort to stay in peak performance.
It does, said the man, sipping a beer and nodding thoughtfully.
So why not let Apollo sort that all for you, leaving you more time to do what you do best? We can get the bas reliefs on their way and have you done by lunchtime tomorrow.
I don't know. Never had much truck with these god fellas. They have their lot and I have mine, you know?
You don't have a god currently?
Shuttle whistled as if he hadn't clocked it from a mile away.
You really should. Absolute requirement in the modern day. It's hard to say how anyone could make it through the troubling waters of modern life without some help from upstairs. I know I couldn't.
Huh.
The man chewed his lip.
I don't know. Never really a fan of kneeling down to anyone. Real men don't kneel, you know? Resisting the urge to groan, Shuttle forced a smile.
There are a large variety of gods that can improve your life with no kneeling required. And it really can be hard to get ahead in life when anyone offering to a god is treated to divine rewards.
I am not sure I can respect a god who doesn't want anything. I mean, if you are worshipping someone, you want someone who commands respect, right? They went around in patient circles, round and round the path of reason, before Shuttle accepted the man was as sharp as a marble and left, leaving just some spare pamphlets and a promise to call again. He wouldn't hold his breath. Although, when he got to the next house, Shuttle wished he had. An unusual smell. It put Shuttle in a mind of a pond that had been used to dump chemical waste for years before being drained. If that wasn't a house that needed a god, what was? A triple knock at the door didn't gain anything other than the mysterious breathing of someone on the other side wanting to not be seen. Not unusual. News of salesmen could travel faster than wild horses in a small town where no one had anything else to talk about. After a brief fight to push a pamphlet under the door, with the other person clearly pushing it back, Shuttle left for the next house. At this rate, he could forget Jerry. He would have to pick up his game for the future of Frum as a whole. He was even less sure where gods went when they ran out of believers, but he knew he did not want to find out. The thought was enough to stop Shuttle in his tracks at the gate to the next house. His work today was the dogmatic equivalent of the type of person sniffing around at a dive bar's lost property box, hoping for something, anything to help them out. Jerry deserved better than that. He had worked tirelessly for Frum for years. But this was the horrible, smelly box that Shuttle had to sift through to help him. And so Shuttle would sift. All the sifting was worthwhile when Shuttle arrived at his sixth house of the day. At first, Shuttle groaned. He saw the luscious green grass and the small altar that spoke of Flo the Lawn God. But then, he saw an altar on the post box and another one on the pipes. Licking his lips, Shuttle took a moment to relax. He'd struck gold, a proper deophile. Someone who collected gods the way the rich old ladies collected the little porcelain figures of dogs that confused Shuttle so much. Greasing back his hair, Shuttle took a deep breath and did his signature triple knock. The door opened, revealing a portly man with thick glasses that made him resemble a mole.
Hello, my name is Shettle. Can I interest you in a god today?
Oh, I've been waiting for you. Please, come in. I'm Theo.
Shettle followed the man into a lounge that an honest man would call cramped. An estate agent? Cozy. There was an entire cathedral's worth of relics and altars crammed into a space barely large enough for four chairs and a card table. To swing a cat, Shettle thought, he would need very tight and conservative movements, and preferably a very small and compliant cat.
So I see you are a man with discerning tastes who clearly knows what he wants.
Shettle gave his best salesman smile.
What can I interest you in today?
Just tell me, who's on offer?
On offer?
You chaps always have someone you're trying to shift more than the others. One of those down on their luck, almost forgotten types. The type that doesn't even get a mention in the All Gods Cathedral.
That hit Shettle harder than any smiting god could ever dream. He knew it. Of course he knew it. Once upon a time, he'd had five temples devoted to his splendor, with great marble statues that could make a master stonemason weep. Now he was reduced to small, chipped altar in the pantry of Jerry's apartment. Even that was on borrowed time. The doctor's advice to Jerry had bubbled down to not bother starting a long book. Without Jerry, Frum would be left with just a handful of part-time believers to stop him fading away into nothingness.
Those are the gods you want?
Oh, yes. I want one who's going to make a big comeback. Help them get on their feet.
That, Shettle accepted with a long sigh, was exactly who he was. If he had treated his followers correctly, he would still be in the front of the catalog. Any he got now, he was going to listen to them until his ears hurt.
I will see what we have. I presume your preference is for those who are fine with other gods?
Very much. I want as many as I can get. They tend to have minor benefits, but they'll all add up eventually. And it only takes one of them to make it big, and then they'll remember me as their solace in the old days.
An idea which struck Shettle as not understanding the mindset of a god. He could already feel the unease in the air of so many cramped together, like anxious and uncomfortable guests stuck at a distant relative's birthday party counting down the seconds until they could leave.
I understand entirely.
Shettle took a deep breath. He didn't want to join this cornucopia of unease and awkwardness, but he didn't have a choice. Well, he did, but Jerry didn't, and that was the real problem here.
So I'm going to offer you the services of Shettle Frum, a minor god of hair.
A hair god? Theo frowned. I have to say, there are some weird gods about, but a hair god is possibly the weirdest one. Who the hell would pick to be a god of that?
Shettle's eyes immediately flickered to the snail god altar in the corner, and he wondered what the hell he had done to deserve to be ranked beneath a god that slid across the floor in a pool of her own slime. A large part of him wanted to go back to the old ways and just smite the man. The more practical part wanted to storm out. But Jerry needed this like a boat needed water, so he took a deep breath.
I'm going to level with you, Theo. Gods manifest their natures in the world around them. The effect varies from god to god. They make things happen just by existing. Like a tree spitting out oxygen. It doesn't choose to do it. It just happens. I didn't want to be a god of hair. Just how I came to be. If we got to choose, then everyone would be fancy gods doing the cool stuff.
If Theo was surprised at Shettle outing himself, he didn't show it. Shettle couldn't help but wonder how many times he had forced gods to reveal themselves. But he just nodded.
I didn't know that. Are you allowed to tell me this?
Shettle shrugged.
Most gods like to present an all-powerful image to mortals all the time. But they're absolute wazooks, to be honest.
Theo laughed, and finally, Shuttle relaxed. He knew he was in. What can you promise me?
I am working 12 hours a day, every day, for Jerry, my high priest. He's done literally everything I ever asked for his 30 years. But he needs more followers, so I can guarantee he has an afterlife to enjoy. I'll try this hard for you, too.
All right.
I'm not a demanding god, started Shuttle.
I like to see my gods.
Shuttle took a millisecond to change gears before smiling. But I can come for a Sunday service, or dinner if you want.
I'd like that. Theo smiled, sitting back in his little chair like he had won a great prize. I like chicken, nice and raw with that juicy pink in the middle.
Sounds easy to cook for.
And that was that. 5 minutes later, Shuttle was on the road with a signed contract clutched in his hand and a promise to send an altar down. A full sail and a weekly dinner. What a day. Jerry may not be guaranteed afterlife just yet, but boy was he on his way with 6.35 followers. The next house had a statue to Sobke, the crocodile god, out in front. Another condescending bastard of a god. One who wouldn't care if his followers dropped down dead. Shuttle used to be like that. Used to think mortals were disposable commodities, to be used and discarded as needed. You lose 100, you gain 100. What did 1 or 2 mean in the end? Speaking of, Shuttle would have to hurry up to get to the hospital before visiting hours ended. Jerry was going to love this even more than the whiskey Shuttle was going to grab on the way. The doctor said it wasn't good for his health, but that didn't feel like a problem somehow. Soon, Shuttle could finally pay Jerry back for all that work. Jerry was going to have the best afterlife Shuttle could provide. It was so close, Shuttle could taste it. For once, Shuttle would even offer a guarantee. This has been Seller's Remorse by Rick Danforth.